Okay, so I've got a question for you guys, just as a little icebreaker, because I know everyone here loves icebreakers. Does anyone know what the word epistemology means? Epistemology. You can all Google. Okay, wow, that was what I... Study of letters. No. It's the theory of knowledge. Okay, now you all know that. Epistemology, theory of knowledge. And there's something about... Yes, they do, in research. Yes. Okay. So this morning I want to share something with you that I feel God has been saying to me over the last few weeks, and it's around this thing of knowledge, and specifically this thing of knowing God. So I want to call this preach, I want to title it Knowing God, and I want to start in Scripture. So Colossians 1, 9 to 12. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." I just want to put a little caveat quickly, is that Robin normally never cries. And Robin cried this morning, so there's a high likelihood that I might cry while I preach. It feels like God is doing something, so I just be warned. It is by default. So I just want to give you a little bit of context first about the scripture. So Paul is the author, and he's writing a letter to the church at Colossae. And what he's doing, he's encouraging them and exhorting them, and he's giving them keys and tips in their journey of sanctification. So there's four specific things that Paul is saying to the church. Firstly, he's saying, bear fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father. You see, it kind of feels like this scripture parallels a very well-known scripture that we know, where again, Peter is exhorting and encouraging a congregation or a church. It says in 1 Peter 1:5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness," we know this one, "and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." Now, if you've been in church for long enough, you kind of have an idea of this thing of bearing fruit. And we all know John 15, we all know about abiding in the vine, bearing fruit. It's an analogy used a lot in Scripture. But what does it mean to grow in the knowledge of God? It's a little bit more open to interpretation, and it's a little bit more abstract, right? See, what I find intriguing about this sentence, and the first time I read it, is it implies that there's knowledge to be known of God, and that you can increase in that knowledge. So there's a maturity that can happen in your walk where you can know of God and know God and increase in that knowledge of God. I don't know about you, but that got me excited. I was like, yes, I want to know more of God. Let's just maybe say it a little bit differently. Perhaps a better way of saying this is simply knowing God. Or how do we know God more? I can really feel the emotions stirring up, so just get ready. Now, as someone who loves research and who, by nature, is a researcher, when I read something like "Grow in the Knowledge of God," I go to my library and I get the most complicated theological book I can find, the one that I've avoided for years, and I'm like, I'm going to read this book now. And in fact, I picked out that book. It was John Murray's Redemption Accomplished and Applied. If you ever want to read a very hard book that you won't understand much of, because I didn't, read that book. Okay? But while reading that book, which was excellent, really, really, really excellent, So I would highly recommend it, but it's very challenging. It's 150 pages, but man, it took me about a month to get through. Here's something I found while reading that book. Knowing God and knowing about God are two very different things. See, I'd even venture to say that there are hundreds, even thousands of learned theologians who know about God but don't have a relationship with or know the living God. Here's a quote that I found. It says, "It is possible to know all about doctrine and still not know Jesus. A person's soul is in grave danger when the knowledge of doctrine surpasses Jesus, avoiding intimate touch with him." You see, I'm not saying that knowing about God is a bad thing. As someone who loves to read and study the Bible, I think it's a good thing, but it's not the only thing. You see, put simply, the breadth of your knowledge does not gauge the depth of your knowledge. Now, for all of you sitting here who struggle to have decent quiet times and don't like reading, you're all going, "Yes, he's just told me I don't need to read the books. I don't need to dive into the Bible. My quiet times, yeah, I'm not going to go there." That's not what I'm saying. Okay, just so we're all very clear. I think studying and getting into the Word is very, very, very important and something that we should all be doing. So please, don't hear what I'm not saying. We are clearly called to study and read the Word of God as much as possible. But when learning and studying for the sake of knowledge becomes our priority, it is of very little benefit to us, I think. Because as we know in 1 Corinthians 8:1, what does it say? You're all going to know this very well. But knowledge, what does knowledge do? Pure knowledge. Renee's doing actions. Puffs up. That's right. While love builds up. Okay. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. You see, I think we can learn about God, but we need to also be applying it to our lives. We need to let the Word of God and knowing God change us. Otherwise, all we are people who know a lot about God but don't actually know God. So at this point, you're all going, "That's all good and well, Dylan, thanks for that. But how do I do this? You've told me that knowledge is good, that we should grow in our knowledge of God, that just learning and having knowledge for the sake of knowledge is not necessarily the only thing, and that we need to know God. How do we do this?" Does anyone venture to have any guesses on how we get to know God practically? So J.R. Packer, who's a very well-known theologian, has a formula which he developed. It is a wonderful formula, which I'm going to share with you now. This is priceless. So if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Okay? So J.R. Packer says this, "The rule is demanding but simple. We turn each truth that we learn about God into matter of meditation and contemplation before God, leading to praise to God." Okay, let me say that again. We turn each truth that we learn about God into matter of meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. Another theologian says this. He says, "Doctrine, the Word of God, leads to devotion, which leads to doxology." And doxology is just a short hymn or song that we find in Scripture. So simply put, we need to turn our knowledge into knowing. And the result is always praise. We were fortunate enough to host the combined com group. So a lot of guys went to Ross for a meeting and we got to host a bunch of guys at our house. And we went through the book of, a few verses in 2 Corinthians, in particular 2 Corinthians 5. And we just, it's an amazing piece of scripture. If you've read it recently, it talks about being a new creation in Christ, about being ambassadors of the kingdom, of being ministers of reconciliation, of being compelled by the love of Christ. All amazing. That's all in one piece of scripture. It's so powerful. It's actually part, one of my favorite at the moment. But we got to the end of that passage while we were just talking through as a group. And it just, it came to me that I wanted to share this formula and put it into practice with the group. So what we did was we read the last chapter 21, verse 21. And it was an amazing experience. Because while I was reading it, I read it a few times. So the first time I read it, I understood it. So I learnt about God. The second time that I read it, I took it to God and I processed it before God. What does this mean to me? What does this mean to me? What this is saying? What is this? How am I processing? I want to know what this means for me, God. And it resulted in the end with the people in that lounge worshiping and thanking God in thanksgiving and praise. Because what does that scripture say? It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when you take that scripture and you read that scripture and you learn about God, you take that scripture and you sit before God and you go, God, for my sake, just as we've been speaking about this morning, a sinner without any hope of grace or salvation, for my sake, he became sin who knew no sin. And the result of that, when I read that a few times to the group, was I broke down. I couldn't speak anymore. I was in tears. I was just like, God, I can't comprehend this, but I know you now. I know this about you, that you've done this for me. And my only response in that moment could be praise and thanksgiving. I couldn't even talk anymore. I was like, guys, what's the point of talking more about Scripture? Yes, there is a point. Okay, don't get me wrong. There is a point talking about Scripture. But what the point is actually, in light of what God has done for us, in knowing what he's done for us, let us praise him. You see, as any good scholar, I had to throw in a bit of Greek into the preach. But in this case, the Greek really works. Because the Greek for knowledge is a word, and it's a funny word to pronounce. It's, you can call it gnosis. It's G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis, which is a funny word for us in English to pronounce. But the actual word used in that scripture, growing in the knowledge of God, is epignosis, which is an intensified version of gnosis. And it means knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. Okay, first-hand relationship means that you know that person intimately. Not you know about that person. I feel like I know Heike well. I don't know about her. A lot of you know about Heike. I know her well. In fact, I know her so well that we went to a pizzeria recently. And in my defense, she asked me for the pizza with vegetables. Which already I'm going like, no, this doesn't work. So because I knew her, and I thought I knew her, I ordered the pizza with butternut and sunflower seeds. Those are things that should never be on a pizza, just saying. Amen. And Heike sat through that meal visibly upset. To the point where, to try make amends for a mistake, I took a piece of the pizza and I was like, I'm going to eat this and just see how, and it was really bad. So I did try, but it didn't work. It was super bad. She wanted, so what she actually wanted was artichokes. And I read on the menu anchovies. Anyway, it's a long story. We went to Robin about that and he helped us out, which was great. So knowledge can and should also be experiential and relational. See, while contemplating and meditation are good and help us to think through God, the final step must be a path of earnest practice and praise. I love the example of Job, and we all know the story of Job. He was a godly man, and Job went through a lot, to say the very least, right? He went through some stuff. In Job 42, which is the last book in Job, listen to what Job says. He says, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." That kind of breaks me a little bit because we know what Job went through, right? But he sees God. He sees God, not in the physical, but he sees God and he knows God and he knows God was with him through all of that. It wasn't just a head knowledge of who God was or what God could do. It was, no, God was here and he was with me in the situation. And I've not only heard of him, but I've seen him. Or think of the situation of, you know, Mary Magdalene, who was delivered from 7 demons. She wasn't a theologian, but she knew God. There were many men in that time who were a lot smarter than her, who had a lot of head knowledge, but she had a knowledge of God that couldn't be taken away from her. She had experienced something with God. And I'm not saying that it's all about experience. No, also the Word. We have to be digging into the Word and the Spirit together. Mary Magdalene at that time experienced freedom. And for her, the scripture ran true. For those who the Son set free are free indeed. So do we have a personal history with Jesus? The one true sign of discipleship is intimate oneness with him. A knowledge of Jesus that nothing can shake. And I think for a lot of us in this week, as we've been through this week of living in this country where it just felt like every day there was more bad news, for a lot of us it was that knowledge of God and knowing who God was that got us through. I saw, and I'm skipping ahead of my notes now, Charlie. I saw an amazing post by Charlie. He was passionate about what was happening in the country. And what Joss was saying, we should be passionate about it. But I think it was on Friday, she just posted this pink screen with an amazing scripture in 1 John, "Perfect love casts out all fear." You see, Charlie had taken a scripture that she knew and she'd applied it and it became personal to her. And she knew that when God says that, that's what God is and that's what he does. His perfect love casts out fear. What am I going to do when I get to that part of the preacher? I was going to talk about that now. Does the Holy Spirit witness with your spirit that you know God in this way? You see, the passage that we've spoken about talks about growing in the knowledge of God. And it's an ongoing process, growing. It doesn't say grow once and for all, growing in the knowledge of God. And we keep growing in the knowledge and the love and the knowing of God until we reach that place of glorification when we'll know him fully. Just as Jill, our beloved sister, is in the presence of her Savior. Oh, we should be jealous in a way. We should be. But we rejoice. Jill, she's just rocking, man. She is so amped for Jesus right now. And she was already amped for Jesus. I don't know how much more amped she could possibly get. But she was an amazing woman. So if we read in Philippians, and I love this because it's a passage by Paul. And I'm going to read the whole thing because I think it's great in context. It says, "And yea, doubtless, I could count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I can just imagine the way Paul says that this man who is responsible for some of the most profound theology, just read the book of Romans, it'll blow your mind. This is a man who knew God intimately, who had a personal touch from God on the road to Damascus, and his heart's cry is that I may know him. I just want to know him more and more and more. I want to know him. Shouldn't that be our cry? Shouldn't we want to know him more? I know I do. An appetite and a longing to know him. But you see, as much as we can know him, we can rejoice in this as well. And this is amazing. That he, God, is making himself known. He's making himself known to us. He wants us to know him. You see, he wants us to know his heart. He wants us to know his love for the lost. His love for his sheep, his majesty, his power and resurrection, his mercy, grace, peace. The list is endless. And knowing him helps us to process, as I said earlier, the events of this week. Knowing who he is, knowing what he says to us, knowing that we can take those things and meditate on those things before him, and then from that place, enter a place of praise. That this week, we could enter a place of praise, going, he's near to the brokenhearted. And praise him for that. He is close to the crushed in spirit. And praise him for that. Be anxious for nothing. And praise him for that. The God of perfect peace would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That can be ours. That we can know that of him. And that is true. But as I said, learning some mic control. As I said, the one side of it is that we can know God intimately. Like we can bring stuff to him and know him and result in praise. But listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. We are known by God. Just let that sink in. We are known by God. And I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, where he says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Okay, wow. Whoa. Okay. That's intense. You hem me in before and behind, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. To know that God knows us. You know, do you know that he knows everyone? If you're in a relationship with God, he knows you. If you're not in a relationship with God, he knows you. And he wants you to know him. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows those who are his. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and they know me. 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if anyone loves God, He is known by him. That's an amazing revelation. You see, other religions would make us, it's always about trying to appease or please this malevolent God who's never happy with you. No, our God is benevolent and he knows us. You know, the famous Greek philosopher, Socrates, has everyone heard of Socrates? A man of great wisdom, worldly wisdom. Guess what his mantra was? Know thyself. Isn't that what the world teaches us? Know thyself. I know myself, and I don't want to know myself. If that's the be-all and end-all of this existence, man, I don't want to know that. I want to know God, because I know it's in my heart. In fact, I came up with this brilliant little phrase that I know you're all going to be posting on Twitter later. Dylan Jones says, say no to thyself and know God. Hey? Put that on Facebook. It'll be huge, I promise you. Yeah, you'll get shares, likes, everything. It'll go huge. Never mind. I'm going to talk about Instagram. Think about this for a minute. You can only know someone if they're willing to let you know them. You can know a little bit of Heike, but until Heike wants you to know everything about her, you're not going to know everything. God has opened himself. He wants us to know him. God is making himself available to us to know him. And what should this do for us? The fact that we know God and we are known by God, what should this do? Like, what emotion should this create inside of us? It should give us an energy, right? Or a boldness and a joy, a sense of favor, a sense of being known by God and knowing him, that his word is true and we can rely on it. We can come before him with it. And I'm going to end off quickly. It is these emotions that should be stirred up in believers that we know God and are known by him. And what do we call knowing and being known by someone? What is a word we could use to sum that up? Intimacy, yeah. But friendship. Joss was right, 10 points. Friendship. That we could be called friends of God. Hey? That is amazing. So, I want to end it with this because there's a prayer that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. And it's in the beginning of the book of Ephesians. And it's an amazing piece of scripture. So why don't you just close your eyes, actually? And I'm going to read this because it's an amazing, amazing piece of scripture. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and in prayer that you, being rooted in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that, God, we can know you intimately. That we can come to you, Father, and we can trust you. That we can sit before you, and the deep truths of your word can can become knowledge that we know that results in praise. God, I pray that when we read your word, that those words would have a profound effect on us, Lord. We wouldn't just read words as if reading another book, but we would read them as a truth of who you are, God. And that would mold and shape and change us. God, when we face hard situations in our country and in our personal life, we would run to you, Father. And your word always gives us cause to praise you. No matter what the situation, God, there is always cause to praise you. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Father. Just before I close, I want to give an opportunity to anyone who's listened to this who doesn't know God, who has come here this morning, who has maybe heard the preach, or who doesn't know God on an intimate level. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you've heard about God. Maybe you know it in a functional way. But there is a relationship and there's a place where you can know God and be known by God. So I want to give that opportunity. I think I recognize most people here, so I don't want to labor it too long. But if there is anyone here who has listened to this, who desperately wants to know this God that we're talking about, I want to create opportunity for you to put your hand up. Okay, awesome. Well, praise God. We all know him.